Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away, and he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of the rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin. The fifth commandment: "You shall not murder." What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Our New Testament reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel reading for Life Sunday from John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever the Father may ask in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please join me. You guys can sit down right there if you'd like. Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys today? Good. You know what this is? You guys like Pop-Tarts? Let's see what this one is. I think this might be strawberry, which is probably one of the better ones. You guys want this? No. Well, that makes the decision a little easier. I have one. Who am I going to give it to? I have to choose. Should we choose who's the tallest? Stand up. Maybe we should give it to who's the tallest. That wouldn't really be fair, would it? Have a seat. Should we choose who's the oldest? How about should we give it to the girls instead of the boys? How are we going to decide? There isn't enough. There's only one. And sometimes we have to choose who we give things to. We could give pieces to everybody, that's right. Well, if you wait till the end, I'll show you what we're going to do. Sometimes it's hard when we have to make choices. God chose things too. God had to make choices too. Do you know what kind of choices God had to make? God had to make a choice about you. And do you know what God chose? He chose to give you life. He chose to bring you in, chose to bring you into the world to your parents. And he chose to bring you here. And not only did he give you life so that today you can enjoy Pop-Tarts, he gave you another life as well. You want to join me? Come with me. God chose to give you not only life, physical life, so that we can do all the things we do, but God chose to give you another life. And what life is that? What did he do right here in this water? Right. Do we remember our baptism? Stick your finger in there. What do we do with that? Remember our baptism? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we remember that baptism that God gave to us. He not only gave us life and brought us here and into our families, he gave us another life. He gave us life being a forgiven child of God. And when he gave us this life, he connected us to some things. Do you know what he connected us to? He connected us to heaven. And he promised us one day, when we close our eyes the last time, he's going to take us home to be with him. So we already have a place to go. We know that. He connected us to Jesus. He connected us to Jesus on the cross. When Jesus died 2,000 years ago, he forgave all of our sins, didn't he? And he connected us. God connected us. He chose to give us Jesus through this. And he gave us faith. God chose to give us life. He chose to give you life. He chose to give us life right here. And God continually chooses to give us his good gifts. What kind of gifts are we going to receive in church today? Is a Pop-Tart a good gift? No? Well, I think it is, but that's all right. There's other good gifts that God's going to give us here today, too. We heard some of them already. We started off the church service doing this. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And God reminds us that we are his family. And in a minute, we're going to hear about God telling us that we should love other people like he loves us. That's the sermon. And a little later, he's going to give us his very body and blood. You see, God continues to choose to give us his good gifts. In the gospel reading, God says this, I chose you. Can you say that with me? I chose you. See, we didn't choose God. God chose us. He gave us life. He gave us forgiveness. He gives us Jesus. Well, I thought maybe there would be more kids here today than just one, so I do have gifts for you. But before you eat this, you have to ask mom and dad. Okay? Oh, before you go, let's pray. We got no thanks. All right, very good. Let's pray. Yeah, we have to pray. We always pray. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for giving us life and faith and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks guys for coming up here. We continue with our next hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again that you have chosen us, that you have given your good gifts to us of life and health and daily bread. We pray, Father, that you would continue to love us, that your love would shine through us into the world around us. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I met Amy in the church parking lot. It was a warm summer day. School was out. There were a bunch of kids playing in the playground, which is not unusual at all in the summer. And it was a little bit later in the day, and I was outside. There was a car that pulled into the parking lot, and I just went over to see who they were and what they were doing. And she introduced herself. She said, hi, I'm Amy. Those are my kids over there. I hope they're not bothering you. And I wanted to introduce myself and have a conversation with her. And she didn't want to do that. She was nervous. I think she thought I was going to tell her to get her kids out of our playground. But I didn't. I just said, hi, how are you? Thanks for using the playground. If you need anything, it was hot, you could come into the church, water fountain, popsicles for the kids too, by the way. And we started a conversation. For the next number of weeks, Amy came by looking for her kids, checking on them, taking them home, sometimes dropping them off. And I tried to make it a point whenever I would see her to go out and talk to her. But each time it was awkward. She didn't really want to talk to me. I didn't try to do anything more than just be a good neighbor, be a good friend. One day as we were talking, she came to get her kids and I said hi again. And she looked at me real hesitantly and she said, Pastor, can we talk? And I said, sure. What works for you? And she said, maybe next week I'll have time. So next week came and she pulled into the parking lot. We sat out on the park bench out there as her kids played in the playground and we talked about all kinds of things. We talked about her very broken life and her very broken family. We talked about the fact that she didn't really know much about God at all. And then she said this, Pastor, I've had an abortion. What's God going to do to me? What's he going to do to my family? And she almost couldn't get the words out. Even though she didn't know much about God, she feared what this God that she didn't know would do to her because of what she had done. Over the course of the next few weeks, Amy and I talked more. She got more comfortable. As we gathered and as we talked, We talked about a lot of things. We talked about her life. We talked about her sin. We talked about the fifth commandment and her abortion. We talked about all those things, and every time we talked about Jesus. At the end of those awkward conversations, when she did not really want to admit what she did, we talked about Jesus. I got the feeling from Amy that she had been hurt by the church somewhere along the line. That trying to find help for herself, trying to find direction for her life, I got the sense that the church had beaten her up. That they judged her because of whatever reason. And she was very hesitant to open up her brokenness to anyone. Thanks be to God for her kids that played in the playground. Thanks be to God that she was willing to talk. Every day for the rest of that summer, Amy came and I would look for her out there and I would go out and we would talk. Every day we'd talk about Jesus. Every day we would talk about the hope and the promise, and every single day I would remind her that every single bad decision she made, every single sin that she had, all the times that she'd been caught up in something that she had no control over, all of the times she had been hurt, and the one who hurt someone, were forgiven by Jesus. And she was free and loved. In that first conversation, when I was talking with her, I think when she told me she had her abortion, she was expecting that I was going to scold her, that I was going to tell her how terrible she was. I think she was expecting some long sermon at that point in time. And what I said to her was this: Jesus loves you, and he died for you. Amy couldn't understand that. As we talked a lot about mercy. Mercy being God not giving us what we deserve. And she couldn't wrap her head around that. She would say over and over again, why would God punish his perfect son for me? Why would God care about me when I don't care about him? And the answer was always the same. Amy, he created you. He loves you, and he wants you to be his own child, and he wants you to live in this forgiveness and peace that only he could give. And Amy couldn't believe that it could be that easy. Don't I have to do something? Don't I have to do this to make it right for God to do all of these things? And over again, we would go back to Jesus. That God punished his own dear son for Amy's sin, so that Amy would never feel that punishment. That God would take his own dear son and send him into the world for Amy, so that she might know peace and forgiveness. By the end of the summer, Amy was coming around. She knew every time we talked, we were going to get to Jesus. She knew every time we talked, we were going to get to the cross. She knew every time we talked, she was going to hear good news. Now, we did talk about her sin. We didn't just push that aside. And every time that sin came up, there was the cross. There was Jesus loving her and giving her his gifts. That conversation with Amy and with a lot of other people in our community is exactly an example of what Jesus says in the gospel reading for today. Jesus says this: this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I don't think Amy ever saw that love. I think she heard law. I think she saw the church as someone and the people of the church as people who judged her. There was a huge misunderstanding in her life as far as who God was and how he acted. And part of it was she believed that God would punish her because she did what she did. She also believed that the church was for good people. People that have their life all put together. People that aren't broken like her. And then we talked about my life and her life and the brokenness of all of us. And Amy began to feel a little more comfortable, because what she realized is our lives, are just as broken as hers, just in different ways. And our hope and our forgiveness and our peace comes from the same one, Jesus, who died on the cross for all of the brokenness that we have. Jesus that came down into this world and took all of our sin upon himself willingly, so that you and I would never feel and see the wrath of God. That's hope. That's forgiveness. That's peace. That's joy. That's the gift that God gives to us. When Amy was talking about the church, not knowing much about the church, I think really what she was saying is, I don't know that the church has anything good for me. Because she always saw the church as one who was judging her, and God's people who were judging her. And rightfully so. We do have a tendency to do that. The church has a tendency to look down its nose at other people and say, you have to do this and this and this before God will love you. And that's wrong. And that's sinful. We have a tendency to judge people too, even though we might not say it outwardly. We judge them by how they look or they don't look. We judge them by the car they drive. We judge them by what they do or don't do. We judge them by all kinds of things. We do the exact wrong thing that God says not to do. He says, judge not, lest you be judged. And what do? We fall into that trap all the time. In the gospel reading today, Jesus says simply, love one another as I have loved you. You see, this great love that God has shown to Amy and God has shown to us, he didn't expect us to achieve some mark of excellence in our life before he was going to give us the gift. He looked at our brokenness and he said, you need someone to save you because you can't save yourself. I'll send you my son. And he'll go to the cross and he'll take all of your sins upon himself and he'll give you his holiness. And it's a free gift to you. That's the joy that we have as our Savior has chosen us. Chosen us, broken sinners, everyone, to give his gifts to. Chosen us to give us life. Well, to give us life again in the waters of baptism. To give us his gifts of forgiveness and his word of preaching and his very body and blood for us today. St. Paul says it best, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amy's sin of abortion was forgiven by Christ on the cross. Our sin of judging people is forgiven by Christ on the cross. Our sins of being broken and being the one who break other people are forgiven by Christ on the cross. And when we gather here as God's family, given life in the waters of baptism, we have joy and we have peace. And we have promises that our Lord continues to love us and will continue to be with us all of the days of our lives. Today we celebrate Life Sunday. And we hear these words from Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We've been loved in so many ways. The very fact that we're here is a gift from God. The very fact that he drove us through the waters of baptism, drowned our sins, gave us faith, connected us to the cross, is God loving us. But how do we go forward with that? When we walk through the doors and when we see people, how do we love them as Christ has loved us? In Life Sunday, we talk about the fifth commandment, which was our catechetical review. And with the fifth commandment always comes a conversation about abortion, about euthanasia, about suicide. How do we love and let people know who are struggling? Maybe the best example of that is what Jesus did when he talked to the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus had been traveling, it's hot, it's the middle of the day, it's noon. And Jesus goes to the well and sits down. And a woman comes out to draw water. Now, no woman would come out in the heat of the day. This woman did it specifically because there's nobody at the well in the heat of the day. She didn't want to talk about her life. She didn't want to be judged by others by the things that she had done and was doing. She wanted to be left alone, and there she walks to the well, and who's sitting there? Jesus. And he has a conversation with her. He didn't judge her. He didn't condemn her. He simply asked her for water. She was defensive. How dare you? You shouldn't be talking to me. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. That does not work. What's your problem? And yet Jesus continued to give her hope. I can give you water of eternal life. Water that you won't need to drink from again. And in the midst of all of that, in that conversation with the woman, she tried to distract him. She tried to get off the topic of her life because she knew, and Jesus knew, and he confronted her with her five past husbands, and the one that she was living with was not her husband. But he continued to talk to her. He continued to give her hope and promise. And then he said to her, she said that she's waiting for the Messiah, and Jesus said, I am the Messiah that you are seeking. You see, that's how we give these gifts to other people. That's how we help someone struggling with suicidal thoughts or euthanasia at the fear of the end of their life or even abortion. We listen. And we love them as Christ has loved us. Every Sunday we gather and we pour out our sins to our Savior right there. And never once have I heard God speak from heaven and say, that's it, I'm done with you, you're out of here. He says, I love you. You're forgiven through Christ who I sent for you. I'm not sure what happened to Amy. At the end of the summer, she stopped coming around. I had heard from other kids that their family moved, which was kind of common for her. But I do know that that summer when Amy would pull into the parking lot, she heard hope and promise. And she heard about Jesus. And she was able to hear that her sin that she'd been carrying for so long was forgiven by Christ on the cross because he loved her. Every time she gathered for that summer, every time we gathered here, she heard about Jesus. She heard about hope. She saw the gospel in action. Jesus simply says, love one another as I have loved you. Listen, point them to Jesus. Tell them he loves them. That's the gospel in action. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.